Thanks, Anne. Look, I will keep my comments rather shorter than my introduction, so to help with the time frame. But I would like to congratulate the Minister on his appointment to the portfolio, also to Jane and the Australian Services Roundtable and its sponsor Telstra, and also CEDA for putting this topic front and centre today. It's clearly a good time to be in West Australia given our contribution to the national economy. We've heard from Ian how nearly two-thirds of our businesses are service-oriented companies, and I think that's a very important topic that we need to look at. What I'd like to do is granulate it a little, and I will be focusing on ICT. Clearly, resources is a major sector, but its pull-through on retail, property, business services, which has doubled in the last six years, and ICT is extremely important. And given my background, I'd like to make some commentary about that, which I'll ask the Minister to respond to. However, before that, I might just give you some more insights as to who Accenture is. Its antecedent firm was Anderson Consulting. We listed on the New York Stock Exchange in 2001 with about 40,000 people. We now employ 180,000 people in 48 countries and generate revenue of about $19 billion. So in some sense, it's an economy or an industry sector in its own right. We do work in some of the countries that Ian and Greg have spoken about, but I want to just give you a perspective of how do we use those countries to generate the growth and support the growth we've got. While we do about $2 billion worth of services consulting to the mining and energy sector, and we service all the super majors, the NOCs, IOCs and the independents like Woodside, a large part of our work is using IT to help transform other companies and industries, airlines, banking, government, healthcare, and utilities. In an example, in the last 12 months, we've replatformed about 45% of Australia's electricity users. We've replatformed about 98% of its telco users through our work at Optus and Telstra. And the bad news for everybody in this room is that we've replatformed 100% of Australia's tax users for the tax office, so don't blame me if you get caught. But that's the type of transformation that our company does. We invest about $600 million a year in R&D. We work in near, far and frontier markets. So not only are we a major employer of ICT graduates, we deploy ICT to our customers, we're also a major user of it in how we operate ourselves. We certainly use global delivery for the deployment of IP. We use global delivery for the reusability of our assets. We use offshore centres, and we have 60,000 people employed in Asia, primarily in India, China and the Philippines, that do provide shared services facilities for our clients as well as ourselves. So our IT, our finance, our HR, our e-learning and our content factories are managed offshore, which has made a big difference to the growth that we've been able to post. In West Australia, we've trebled our business this year, doubled our headcount. So if you look at the multiplier on that, there's a productivity gain on how we can deliver services to West Australia through that offshore capability. I want to just change gears a little bit, Jane, just to talk about the ICT industry. It's very important to the Australian economy. According to ABS, it contributes just under 5% of gross value add. One of the fastest growing sectors in Australia, with over 380,000 people working in ICT, up by 100,000 in the last 10 years. In West Australia, ICT employment growth stands at 42% since 2003. So massive growth in that industry. A study of 2 years ago, supported by the Technology and Industry Advisory Council and by the Labor government here, showed that ICT generates just under $7 billion, which is greater in total than agriculture, forestries and fisheries. So, Minister, your portfolio, as you reflected on previous portfolios in West Australia, outstrips the contribution to those economies. Employs 23,000 people in this state, indirectly and indirectly up to about 150,000 or 17% of our workforce are employed working with or around ICT. So major message, it underpins a lot of the other economy. About $6 billion in exports from Australia in ICT products and services to countries you would not generally expect, Japan, UK, China, India, South Africa and Malaysia. I think, with a very strong focus around climate change by the Rudd government, ICT has got a major place to play. Its own industry, through its Bite Back program in Victoria, is recycling 97% of its own product. And when you think about carbon emission reduction around carbon sequestration, black coal gasification, post-consumption capture, ICT will play a major role, the technology component, in delivering those outcomes. I think that's the good news. The bad news is, of course, there's some storm clouds, and I think we're a little bit concerned about how that underpins and will affect the rest of the services economy in this room. The new figures released this week that showed that the IT skill shortage, trained certified ICT professionals, could increase from 14,000 in 2010 to 25,000 by 2020. At present, of the 250,000 jobs advertised on seek.com, 30,000 of them are related to ICT. And we're rather concerned that the current approach to 456457 as migrant visas is not going to address the root cause. The interest in ICT degrees has dropped 66% in the last 6 years. The recent university intakes at undergraduate level have gone up by 3.6. ICT has gone down by 5.3. At the doctorate level, the intake was down in the domestic intake. International PhD intake was up by 25%. International postgraduates doing ICT courses in our university is up by 29%. There's a real disconnect and there's a delta. Our competitors are getting it, we are not. Curtin University alone has 30,000 students on and off campus, yet in its final year students doing information sciences, there's less students than there are staff. And the intake this year for information sciences is 20, down from 100 3 years ago. So if you start to put those multipliers in place, I do think we've got a major issue starting to face that skill shortfall. And if you believe that those skill shortages are negatively impacting the ICT industry, you have to believe they're going to have a flow-on negative impact to other parts of the economy, many of which you work in. From our perspective, we think this is real. We work in it. We're an employer. But certainly our own studies around the multipolar world, where there's going to be a major shift from the bipolar economies of Japan and the US to China, India, South Korea, Latin America, is going to see a significant shift in the demand for that talent pool. It's going to change the impact on supply chains. The emergence of talent coming out of those emerging countries is going to be significant. And I think ICT is going to major play a role for those countries in how they can provide remote working and how they can compete on the world stage where we currently perform. Our research shows that of the 438 million people that will join the global workforce by 2050, 97% of them will come from those emerging countries. So we've got a major issue facing our education system here to continue to fuel the engine of the other industries. And just as a last anecdote, India is producing 3 million graduates in IT skills each year, and in West Australia we're battling to put together 150 across 5 universities. So on that note, and it's always a sobering note to finish on, I'd actually like the Minister to sort of respond. I know that he has a number of reports that have been tabled by the AAIA and the ACS this week, was calling on a whole-of-government approach by Prime Minister Rudd. I'd actually like to replace that with Minister Craig Emerson and ask the Minister to respond on how he reacts to those observations, how will he engage the services industry, and I think more importantly, what role would you like the audience today to contribute to how you create that strategy going forward? So thank you very much.